family are happy to come into his presence. Amen. We greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are happy to see all of you this morning. Amen. And then just without waste of time, let us go to the reading of the word. Ephesians 1. Verse 1 writes in this manner, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. This was then, but now we can say to saints across the globe, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessings come from God, curses come from the devil. Amen. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen. As we bow our heads, most gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful this morning to approach your throne of grace. Lord, as we read this scripture, our hearts are just bubbling with joy to know that we are the beneficiaries of this grace. When the law made requirements, grace made provision. And Lord, this morning we are very much thankful to know that we are the products of grace. I would believe that every man and woman in the building would remember how condemned they were. But today we can say, therefore, there is no more condemnation to them that are in Christ. We want to thank you for finding us in Christ, because that is our original place. If there are those that are sick this morning, under the authority of the word, we rebuke every spirit of the devil to leave this place in the name of Jesus Christ, and let your people be set free spiritually, physically, and otherwise. Because, Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are expecting liberty for every individual that is here. Those that are heavy burdened, may you make, or not even make their burdens lighter, take away their burdens. Because you said we must cast our burdens unto you. This morning, all men and women that are here I remember many a times where the prophet would say, we need to ask for big things. And before he started meetings, he said, I ask for every soul in the building for the kingdom of God. And this morning, I'm asking for every soul that is here for the kingdom of God. I'm asking for a healing for every sick body that is here. And may the devil be defeated. I know he's already defeated, but help this man and woman to realize that he's defeated. May they enforce his defeat, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit the reading of the word to you. Amen. Amen. While you take your seats. Amen. Amen. Now, how many I'd like to have been redeemed? Amen. How many believe that without redemption we were nothing? Amen. But we thank God for God's redemption. Always say, I don't only thank him for the redemption, but I really thank him for making me redeemable. Hallelujah. Because you can hear about redemption, but unless you are redeemable, then there is a problem. Amen. Now, I want to speak on the great redemption drama unfolding. Hallelujah. The great redemption drama unfolding. That's what I want to speak on. And I believe that it would definitely answer a lot of questions, because some people would say, if God really is the kind of God that you say is a loving God, why there is so much chaos upon the face of the earth? If he has got power to have prevented evil, why there is such abundance of evil upon the face of the earth? But we will understand as we go right along. Amen. This great drama, the author thereof is God himself. He wrote it before the foundation of the world. And we just want to check where it started and where it will finish. Amen. Now, Brother Branham came, and we really thank God for the prophet of the hour, because he was able to see into realms that other messengers that came before him were not able to venture into. But in our time, he was able to venture into those realms and came back to tell us what he saw. Hallelujah. He says there was a time where it was just Elohim alone in space. He filled up space. Hallelujah. And eternity. He was the self existing one. He was there alone. And he had a choice. He could have remained alone, but unfortunately there were certain attributes in him. Hallelujah. And this is where I just need to advocate for his sovereignty. He was there alone. He had no one to consult with. He had no one to provide counsel to him. He was there alone. And this morning, those people that would want to advise God would ask them, where were they when he was there alone? Hallelujah. You've got to acknowledge his sovereignity. And there's a fine line, because as we move and time evolves, people think that things can be very democratic. Hallelujah. Democracy, they say, is the will of the people by the people. Ne? Hallelujah. But when God was there, there was no democracy. It was God alone. Yes. Hallelujah. No church organization, it was God and God alone. Hallelujah. And when he was there as Elohim, we thank God because we had a prophet that could go and check him in his original state. He says he was a fountain of life. Hallelujah. And it says this fountain of life had attributes. Amen. Maybe I must read you this so that you can enjoy this. He says in the message, the pillar of fire, let's take a trip, a little space now, a mental vision, and go back 100 million before there was even a star in the sky. It was God. He has always been God. We are sitting on standing here watching creation come into existence. There was no star, there was nothing. And out yonder, I see now on the space that all is God. Without form, forever, for eternities, no beginnings, no endings. It was God. But before there was even an air, there was God. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham goes out and ventures out into that realm, and he sees him in that state when he was still Elohim. Actually, in one message he says, he was not even here to God. He was just this self-existing one that filled up the universe. Hallelujah. He says, all we see, it was just God. Before the moon, before the planets, before there is anything, he was there alone with his thoughts. Yes. Hallelujah. As a spiritual architect, he was there alone with his thoughts. Are we together? Yes. Now the prophet goes on to check the essence of his being, to check as to who is this being and what was his aspirations in that stage. He says we find out that in him there were attributes, and there were two types of attributes. There was an attribute for him to be a healer, a savior, but there were other attributes which was living beings, which was you and I if you were there. Hallelujah. So as Elohim, he contained his invisible family. There was a time, if you are a genuine son of God, there was a time when you were there even without your body form. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. There was a time when you were there before creation. And you were an attribute in the mind of Elohim. Hallelujah. And he says, as a great architect, and as I would want to dramatize it this morning, he wanted to write this drama, that he wanted us to come and partake and to be part of this of the cast. Because when you write a drama, you've got roles, you've got episodes, you've got a cast, actors that come and fulfill specific roles. So this great Elohim, he wanted to have a drama that can express his characteristics. Are you here, Tesh? And because if you've got a drama that you need to write, and that's why Brother Roman says this is the greatest drama of all time. Is if you've got a drama that you need to write, you would often consult with the cast to brief them as to what is their expectations, what is their role, how they need to act out their role in order to make the drama to be complete. Are we together? And maybe just to dramatize it, these attributes that had no body form, but that were living beings, he consulted with them and said, I want to express who I am. I want to express my nature. But for me to express my nature, you must get lost. Hallelujah. You must get sick. You must be heavy burdened. Hallelujah. And imagine, as an attribute, you were in a state of perfection. You are being told about getting lost, and you don't know what it means to get lost.
You are being told about being burdened, but you don't know what it means to be burdened. You are being told that you will become a sinner, but yet you don't know a sin because it was in a state of perfection. Hallelujah. And if you live in a rich family and somebody says, look, I actually want you to be poor and suffer, you look at them in the eye and say, what do you really mean? I'm fine where I am. Hallelujah. And I would imagine if we, in dramatization, obviously, if you follow, if we were consulted that we needed to be lost, I mean, our jaws must have dropped and say, what does it mean? Hallelujah. And God said, I want you to be separated from me, because being lost, it means you need to be separated from me. Hallelujah. And we began to say, but how will this work out if we get lost and be separated from you? Hallelujah. But he gave us an assurance that, look, as the deity, I will split the deity in half. I will remain with one part of the deity. Another part of the deity, I will put it in you. Hallelujah. And that deity that I put in you, it will serve as a magnet later on, so that you can get back, get magnetized back to the main deity. I'm glad that we did not come here into the world. Yes, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came to the world speaking lies. But yet in our fallen state, there was still that element of deity in us. Hallelujah. If there was no part of the deity in us, we would have never responded to the call of God. Hallelujah. As much as you could have been as drunk as you were, but there was something in you that was laying dormant, that was waiting for the right time, for the light to shine upon. And when the light shone upon that, you even surprised your fellow drunkards, because you responded to a call of God. And from that time, your life was different. Are we together? And if we could put it in this manner, if God was a rainbow, he took a part of a rainbow and he put it in you. That's why when you look at the rainbow, it's not a full cycle, because another part of the cycle is in you. Yes. Hallelujah. God made an assurance that yes, you'll be lost, but don't worry, I will be with you and I will be in you until the end of time. This was before the Bible was written, folks. This was before any sermon could be preached. This was Elohim in consultation with his thoughts. This was before the devil could be created. We were there looking at the script that we must play. And that script is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names were written there. Our nature was slotted in that book. Hallelujah. It's not a time book. It's an eternal book. Are we still together? Now, when he was there, the prophet says, then the first thing that he created, this is the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The first thing that he created angels. Obviously, created the creation, and later created angels. And it says, these angels began to worship him. And amongst these angels, there was one particular angel who was to become a villain in the drama. You know the drama, what makes the drama good? There must be a tension in the drama. There must be what you call the main character and a villain. Maybe a villain kidnaps a woman. Maybe the hero goes out to find that woman, to rescue that woman from a villain. Hallelujah. So this villain called Lucifer. But there he was obedient. God created him. And designed him and knew what this creature would be like. Hallelujah. And from that time, then those angels, the cherubims and the seraphims, began to sing, "Holy, holy unto the Lord." And they sang that song for ages and ages. It was when you associate with God, you come into an environment of worship. A lot of times, so many of us are tense because we are out of our post of duty. We were designed to worship. We were not designed to complain, folks. We were designed to worship. How many agree with me that you cannot praise God and have tension in your body? There's something about praising God. It makes your blood pressure to come to normalize. It makes your sugar level to normalize. It makes your arthritis to go away. Praising God heals you. Are you here, church? Praising God heals you. Complaining makes you to be sick. Now they were singing, holy, holy unto the Lord. They were not tired. They did it for eternity. And as the heavenly host was set up in that manner, yet we did not, God had potentials. But those potentials could not be realized unless the villain took his position. A great policeman can never be known unless there is a criminal. Sometimes the evil really brings goodness to light. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes you to when you know a bad man to know a good man. Hallelujah. So right there, there was no contrast. It was this perfection. Everything was right. But we hear this great Elohim saying, Brother Branham says, before he gets there, he says, this Elohim, maybe I'm running ahead of myself. While there was nothing there, he says, out of him, out of this great fountain of life, came out a little light, which was a halo. And he says, this little light, which was a halo, hallelujah, it was called the Word of God. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Stay with me here. Somebody asked me a question, how can the Word be with God and the Word be God? You need to understand, when we read, we are not reading English. It's not a grammatical statement. It's a heavenly language. Because when you say in the beginning was the Word was with God, English will tell you the moment you use with, it means it accompanied God. But it was not with in a sense of accompany. It was with in a sense of containment. Are you here, church? I am the body. I've got a personality. But you can never know me unless I express myself through my personality. So, and are you here, church? And you can never separate me from my personality, because see, I'm the body, but how the vehicle through which I express myself to you, it is my personality, and the two are just one. Hallelujah. So this God that was invisible, he wanted to express himself into a visible image. And now that's why that halo came out, which was not the second God. It was still the same God condescending, coming into the visible form where he can be his glory can be beheld. Hallelujah. But the Word and God is the same person. Hallelujah. When God expresses himself, he becomes the Word. But God, when he is unexpressed, is Elohim. But when he expresses himself, he becomes the Word. And when he expresses himself further, he becomes a theophany. When he expresses himself further, he becomes a human being. So all these are the expressions of the invisible God. Oh, the reason I'm preaching about this is because I heard the prophet preaching it. But more than that, I was there when these things were taking place. And you as well can say, Brother Mariva, I was there when these things taking place. Hear me out. We're not talking about a church here. This is before there was a church. This is before there was a pastor. This is before there was a sermon. This is the originality of things. And the devil hates it when you hear this. Because if you can really know who you are and where you came from, a lot of battles that you are fighting, you will realize that they are absolutely nothing. Are you here, church? Now, while he was there, he brought himself into the visible form, which was a halo. The Bible in Genesis 1, it speaks about a light. But that light is not the Son. The Son came about because of that light. What was that light? It was a halo. Hallelujah. It was God coming where he was creating. Are we still together? Do you know that anything to survive, it needs the sunshine? And do you know that there was a creation before there was a natural creation? Do you know that for you to survive, you need the spiritual sunshine? Hallelujah. There's an S-O-N and the S-U-N. Hallelujah. The nature needs S-U-N, but you spiritually, you need S-U-N. You can never survive. The nature can never survive without the S-O-N. And you can never survive without the S-U-N. Hallelujah. The S-U-N ripens nature. You can plant something and it can be a good seed. Unless it receives sunlight, it will never spring forth. But if it receives the sun, even if you put a concrete there, I've seen trees that have defied human, hallelujah, obstacles, where they have put a concrete, but all of a sudden, because that seed is able to receive an element of sun, somewhat it moves, it keeps on growing, and it cannot penetrate the surface because there is a concrete. It finds its way on the side until it comes out, because when the sun shines, you can never stop the light. How much more about the S-U-N? The devil had put mud of sin upon us, but when that sun shone, no matter where I was, I had to find my way. And I can tell the devil, here I am this morning. Are you here, church? Now, it was the invisible God bringing himself into a visible form. Hallelujah. And we know the story. But later, he said, let us, it's a plural. It was a conference. Hallelujah. A conference of supernatural beings. Let us make a man in our image after our likeness. Hallelujah. That does not apply to the cherubims because they've got wings and you've got no wing. Hallelujah. Let us not make an angel. Let us make a man. Because why? There's something special. Oh, unless you see, how can we put this? He sees God, Moses, as a pillar of fire. He sees him as a cloud, but he's still not satisfied. He said, oh God, but can I see you? Brother Branham says, then he put him behind the rock, and he says, now we saw a man passing by. He saw the back part of the man. Brother Branham says, that was that theophany. From that time, Moses never required to see God. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, God looks like you. Hallelujah. Don't look at this animal. This looks like the animal kingdom. But there is you within you. That is a supernatural being. Let us make man in our own image. This was a conference that was attended by the attributes of God. And let me tell you something. I had much better say this as a pastor. I cannot make you a child of God today unless you were in attendance during that convention when it was taking place. We are not here to make people the children of God, but we are here to check the attendance register, that did they attend that meeting there before the foundation of the world. And I'm telling you, if you were there, when you are sitting there, you may not understand a lot of things, but something in you will move. And say, but I don't know much, but I believe what that man is saying. Because why, you've got a representation that remembers where you were. And the devil hates that one. Hallelujah. And I say, now, let us make a man in our image after our likeness. I don't know whether you believe. Me, I was there. I was listening when he was saying that. And I was in an attribute form. And while we are looking, then we saw our brother, Adam, dropping from attribute form, becoming a spirit man. And we watched him as he dropped down in the Garden of Eden, and he moved around, And Brother Bram says he operated like the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit is leading the church. He led the animal kingdom. He was a man, but yet he could not till the ground because he was a spirit man. Hallelujah. Now we see this great Elohim saying, now we see him, he picks up the dust. You are a dust. Hallelujah. You are just a dust that is wearing a suit. Some of you are an Indian dust. Me, I'm a petty dust. Hallelujah. Don't take pride in this body. We are just a dust. When all is said and done, you return to the... No, maybe no wonder when you die, they say, hey, we need to bury him in Zimbabwe. They want to return you to the Zimbabwean soil. God, we are a Zimbabwean dust. A Zulu dust. But here's something beautiful. Behind that Zulu dust, behind that Zulu dust, there is something that is not made of dust. There is a product of the Almighty God behind that dust. No wonder Paul says, let this, when this earthly tabernacle dissolves, when this Zulu dust dissolves, there is another tabernacle that is not made of hands. What is that tabernacle? It's the product of the Almighty God. Then we see this Elohim, he comes down, he picks up the dust, and he forms a man. Now there is a physical structure, but it is lifeless. Hallelujah. It is formed of dust. It's standing there. Then Brother Branham says, then Jehovah, he took the one that was, hallelujah, not born. If you're with me, you'll understand. You know, Jesus, the reason we love Jesus, Jesus played a perfect picture of who we are. Brother Branham says Christ was in Egypt. How many believe that? Christ was in Egypt, but Jesus was not in Egypt. Hallelujah. So, there was an uncreated part of Jesus. And there was a created part of Jesus. No wonder Paul says, we do not know Christ after the flesh. We do not know the created part. But I know the uncreated part that was there before the body was born. That is there when the body is gone. Exactly like you, you've got a part that is uncreated. And when all is said and done, that uncreated part will remain. And that's why this morning I can tell the devil, you may destroy this body. But there's something within the body that is indestructible. It is made in the image of God. Now we see God, he brings that creation. The first man, the spirit man, he makes him to reside in the man that is made of dust. And from there, our brother Adam became a duality. Hallelujah. There was an inner man. And he lived. He was able to till the ground. Hallelujah. While we are there, we are stars. Brother Branham in the seventh church age. Today I'm not going to read. I'm just going to quote off my head. You can read at home. I'm having a good time. Now, Brother Branham says, do you know that you represent a star in heaven? If you represent a star, the devil had an aspiration to build a kingdom on the northern side, to be above the stars of God. Oh, the devil has always known that he's a junior to me. He has always aspired to be above me, and God rejected it in eternity, and God will reject it today. Are you here, church? The devil is your junior. I'll say it so that you believe it. The devil is your junior. He's an angel, you are a son and a daughter. When you write a will, you don't include servants, you include sons and daughters. And the will has been included, it includes you and excludes the devil. He wanted to build a kingdom. He wanted to have a dominion. Now there was a conflict because Michael could not accept that. He took his sword and went towards the enemy and kicked him out of heaven. Two-thirds of angels dropped down with him. Stay with me here. Those angels became demons. A demon is a fallen angel. They have got no bodies. They are looking for bodies to habitate. Hallelujah. Then when he fell down, he looked around the animal kingdom, looked around Eden, looked at the frog, it was of no use. Looked at the tortoise, it was no use. Until he looked at the gentleman called Brother Serpent, a man that was eloquent. And he said, through him, I can inject myself in the human race. Incarnated himself in the serpent. Hallelujah. Did God have power to stop the devil from incarnating the serpent? Oh, yes. Why did he not stop him? Because he wanted the scripture to run. He wanted the drama to unfold. Hallelujah. There were certain episodes. And if you only look at that part, you'll think God is defeated. No, say. And the drama for it to be very exciting, at the beginning, the main character must look overwhelmed. Must look like he's defeated. So that it can climax on a high note. Hallelujah. You don't want, if you were watching movies, you don't want a steering that just wins from first episode. You want him to struggle, and right at the end of episode, he pulls a move and stuns you, and you begin to say, wow, and it says the end. Hallelujah. Because when you do a drama, it's about building a suspense. Now, this serpent came and approached Eve and spoke to Eve. Let me tell you something. Don't ever undermine Eve. No. It was a script. And if I was Eve and we get on the other side and you say, but you were in trouble because of you. Why did you believe the serpent? I'll say, hey, brother, would you have known that God is a healer until I made that mistake? Would you ever known that God can resurrect the dead? Unless it was by that mistake, you would have never sung Amazing Grace unless I played that part of the script. Oh, this makes me feel good. You may look at somebody and undermine them, but they are part of the script of God. There is a part that they are playing that expresses the glory of God. Are you here, church? When we get there, we're not going to blame Sister Eve. We're going to say, sister, the drama began with you. God bless you richly. By you, we saw. Right there, when the serpent came there and misled Eve and she partook from the tree and realized and gave to the husband that she was with and realized that they were naked. Young girls, hear me out. Hear me out. We are a mixed audience, but I'm going to say this. When a young girl is beginning to do things that are not at the level of her age, you can clearly see it, those that are adult. The veil has dropped off. A young girl that has never engaged in such activities, even her interaction with men is so innocent. But once that nature was activated because the veil has dropped of shame, of sobriety. You can see it. Are we together? A young unmarried girl flitting with me, that means the veil of sobriety has been ripped apart.
the veil of innocency has been ripped apart. A woman must have a sense of sobriety. Are we together? Now, I had to drop that one in. It's not part of the drama. Amen. It was an advert. Amen. Now when the serpent came to Eve and spoke to her, and she partook from the tree that was in the garden, in the midst of the garden, and they realized that they were naked. And God had a fellowship with them in the cool of the day. And when God came down and said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And a man now was running from the presence of God, because sin had now been introduced into the time space. And they began to run away. As they were running, the reason God said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" It doesn't mean that he did not see that, hey, this fella is running. He could see, but God interacts with a position, not with a personality. That's why you as a personality, if you move out of your position, God will still come to your original position and say, "Where art thou?" Amen. It's not geographically speaking. That's why for you to have a communion with God, you've got to return back to your original position. Then you will interact with God. Are we together? Yes. That's why the word says God is not a respecter of a person, he's a respecter of his weight. Your position is in the weight. God must always find you in the weight. Now, as Adam was running until God caught up with him. And now there was a judgment taking place in the Garden of Eden. Adam said, "God, hallelujah." And it does happen when we officiate weddings. Ah, goodness, if there's a beautiful part whenever I officiate, is when a young man and a young woman are standing there expressing vows. You can even see the glitter in their eyes. Hallelujah. Some get overwhelmed and even request a tissue just to wipe off the joy, the tears of joy. Hallelujah. They can't believe. It's too subtle for them. But wait, when something, a wrong nature comes in, it's no longer the glittering eyes. Now it's this woman. It's like her mother. But at the altar, she was not like her mother. Hallelujah. You even read a poem for her. What went wrong is because somebody moved out of their position. Are you here, church? Yes. Brother Branham says, never let that honeymoon cease. Yes. Amen. I can hear somebody say, "Pastor, easier said than done." Keep on doing it. Are we together? Now, God comes to Adam. Adam said, "It wasn't me. It was the woman." God says to the woman, "It wasn't me, it was the serpent." The serpent, while it was there, the devil was still there. God will never negotiate with the devil. He never asked the devil why. He just said, "Come off your feet." And the animal that was upright, it became a reptile. Hallelujah. And it came to the woman, you know what happens? Birth pains were introduced. He came to a man. He never said anything about Adam. God cast the environment. Stay with me here, brothers. A sister can make a decision. She will suffer individually. If you as a man make a wrong decision, your family suffers. Are you here, church? Now, well, they are there, but here's another part of the drama. Although Eve was deceived, Adam was not deceived. Eve fell, but Adam never fell. Adam walked into it with open eyes. He became part of it. He looked at Eve and said, remembered, after the blame game had gone. Hallelujah. You know when you are angry with your wife or your husband, but there are times when you calm down and say, "Shame, but I married him." And now those good things began to come up again. Now, Adam looked at Eve and said, "This is my wife. I love her. I mean, I'm assured, God, she's in a fallen state. Had Adam decided that, Eve, it's your own endeavor, God would have come down and destroyed Eve and would have carried on. But because Adam looked at Eve, hallelujah, and saw himself and said, but I love this woman. And he had a dilemma. I must save her. But if I save her, I lose my position. I lose the universe. There will be graves. People will die. Eve, Adam looked at Eve and said, despite what I must lose, let me lose it for the sake of her. Why? Because I love her. And when God came down, because the woman now had a wrong seat, but Adam had his seat there as well. She had a wrong and a right seat, but had only she had a wrong seat, God would have destroyed her because he was destroying that seat. But when God came and looked and wanted to destroy, he found out that already the seed of my son is already in the woman. In a very, if I destroy that seed, I have destroyed a part of my son. God looked and said, I will not destroy. He slaughtered an animal and covered them and accepted substitute. I remember when God was supposed to have destroyed me. When I was nothing, he looked at me, but when he looked further, he realized there was a seed of his son already in the church. Are you here, church? Now, Adam, God said, all right. I can imagine when God said, God will always respect his word. He said, it's done. You need to move out of the garden. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Where the Garden of Eden was is still there geographically. But the atmosphere, a divine atmosphere, left them. I mean, even today, if you go there and you say, you're in the Garden of Eden, you will die. It's not like you live eternally. It's the atmosphere that they were living in. And they moved out of that atmosphere. God looked at them wearing their very first attire, which was an animal skin with blood dripping down their bodies. And Adam and Eve walked, and God could hear their footsteps, could look at them. And when God searched, because he's God of hearts, searched the heart of Adam, knew that this man had a dilemma, had to choose, and chose his wife and left the position. When God looked at that sorrowful sight, the very first sermon before there was any preacher was preached, God said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I will, that's a personal commitment. I will put enmity between the woman's seat and the serpent's seat. This was the first time where God was telling them, although you are going, but wait a minute. There will be a time where this picture will be corrected. That was love, my brothers and sisters. And they walked out of the Garden of Eden. And from that time, it looked like the drama. People of God were defeated. There came great men like Abraham, spoke lies, and they died. Men like Jacob spoke lies and died. Every believer came and they died. Because why? Adam in the Garden of Eden, he lost the abstract title deed. What made him to be an amateur God? The brother Bram said, the devil caused him to lose it. When the devil was about to grab it with dirty hands, God snatched it away. But that property is not a heavenly property. It is an earthly property. God took it for a season to keep it very safe. But without it, we were not overcomers. We died. And God made a provision. Covered our sins with blood of bulls and goats. But while it looked like death had won, hallelujah, Moses came, a mighty prophet, but he died. Joshua, a warrior, he died. Daniel, a wise man, he died. Isaiah, he died. All of them died. But unto us, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be a mighty counselor. He shall be a mighty God. He shall be an everlasting father. Oh, there's something that was the plot now was changing. Until when that son was born, the devil was rattled and wanted to kill the child. But while he had planned to kill the child, God comes to Joseph and Mary and say, run into Africa. Run to Egypt and hide the child there until I've sorted out Herod. Are we still together? And the child was born. And the child grew in stature. Hallelujah. A valiant that had been torturing the people of God knew that there was another character that was now part of the drama. The script now was changing. There was now beginning to be a remedy for all the ills that the devil had created. And the child grew and was brought down to River Jordan to be baptized. Now stay with me here. If you were not there when the drama was written, you will be confused now. Hallelujah. Because now, as the child grew and came at River Jordan, you know, God can create a... When God sifts his children, he's merciless. Are you here, church?
Amen.
I can give an example of this, church. If we're supposed to be 10 that go to heaven, I hope we are more than that. I'm just giving an example. God will make sure that the rest that are here will go. If the message community has got 100,000 people and only 20,000 must go, God will sift them. When they moved out of Egypt, the reason they tarried for 40 years is because God had to sift. Now there is a John the Baptist. Every morning he comes. Repent! The kingdom of God is near. I'm here to introduce the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. And I will point out, I'll introduce the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the day came where he said to the people, he looked at Jesus Christ, his cousin, and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. But yet he was the cousin. If you were not spiritual, you would have become part of the politics of the time. And say, the church is now becoming a family business. The man has told us he's introducing the Messiah, now he's introducing his cousin. But those that were divinely connected to the divine purpose were not stumbled by the introduction of Jesus as the Messiah. Because John says, I knew him not. He was not referring to this structure. He knew the body. But the one that said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. John did not know that part until River Jordan. And when Jesus came out, John knew there's somebody in my cousin. And this morning I can say, you can tell the devil, there is somebody in me. Are you here, church? Amen. Now the child grew. And later, the devil captured him, took him all the way to Calvary, and crucified him. What a shameful death when he was hanging on the cross. Absolutely naked. The rag that is there, it was put by Catholic later. He was absolutely naked. He hung on the cross and the devil thought, I finished. When he heard him scream and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He thought, I have finished. But he did not know. He only dealt with what came into the time element. But within 72 hours, the drama, it looked like the church had been defeated. What do you preach? What type of a sermon do you preach after the treasurer has betrayed the pastor and both have committed suicide? Love. There's no love. They killed each other. What do you preach? Peter says, let me go fishing. We can't preach anything. The church disappointed. Those that are from Emmaus, they say, let's visit our relatives. Until the sisters said, let us go with their caring attitude to go and take care of the body of the Lord. And they came in the morning at the tomb. When they got there, hallelujah, they realized they saw a young man who looked like a gardener. And they say, they spoke to him and say, where have they laid him? But they didn't know it was not a gardener. Hallelujah. The same one on Friday afternoon that had blood oozing out of his body, that was beaten, that looked tired and defeated and thirsty. But on Sunday morning, he looked like a young man that looked like a gardener. And said, God, tell my disciples to go to Galilee. I will meet them there. Amen. What happened there? The script had changed. They had put a big stone on the tomb, but there was an earthquake. He rose from the dead because he said, destroy this body, but within 72 hours, I'll raise it again. And from that time, things changed. We see him walking through the door, the wall. Hallelujah. There's something special about what speed does. If you throw a stone at the window, it will smash the whole structure. If you shoot it with a gun, there will only be this small hole. If you take a light, there's no impact. The faster the object, the lesser the impact. The faster the body, the less the impact. Einstein says two objects can go through each other if they travel at the speed of a lightning, and the molecules and atoms will not disturb one another. I've got a body that can travel with the speed of a light. It can walk through the door. Not this one, the one that I'm going to inherit. Hallelujah. And walk through the door, the wall. Peace be unto you. And while it looked like everything was wonderful, the dead had been raised, then on the ascension day he went up. And the disciples looked at the cloud that took him up, and the angel came down and said, as he left, in the same manner shall he return. Message believers know what I mean now. The cloud took him, the cloud brought him back. Hallelujah. And after he was taken, this drama has got some twist. Although there was Calvary, but there was another element that was missing. Paul came. Irenaeus came. Seven churches came. The church looked defeated. They were persecuted. Hallelujah. Amen. Calvary was there. But Calvary did not give us back what Adam lost. It was just the forgiveness of our sins. Are we still together? Yeah. But later, The drama that started in heaven, that came down in the Garden of Eden, in our time, there was a moment where it went up into heaven again. And now the angels that were saying, "Holy, holy unto him," we see them pausing. They stop singing. There's no silence in heaven. Why is there silence? Because now seals are being broken. The book is being taken. And now we see John. He says, "When I looked and I saw the whole creation lost, I saw all of great men being lost because there was no one worthy to take the book." And it says, "I wept." Because drama has got suspense. As he wept, there was an elder that tapped him on the shoulder and said, "John, be not discouraged. Be not despondent. There is a solution. There is a lion." Not a lamb now. The lamb died on Calvary. Now the same one that was the lamb, he's now the lion. Why did the nature change? The lamb is a submissive animal, but the lion is a claiming animal. You can lead the lamb to the slaughter, but you can never lead the lion to the slaughter. Are you here, church? And he became the lion. Took the book from the one that was sitting on the throne. Not two people. Brother Branham, he went back and he looked at the drama and said he actually took the book out of himself. The lion, the lamb, and the one sitting on the throne. The same person. It was a drama that was happening in split of seconds. Are you here, church?
Amen.
Now, there was silence in heaven. But I want to say it for the lack of a better word. Worship was now delegated from the heavenly host to the earthly host. The noise that used to be there came down upon the face of the earth, because the one that was there came down here. Then John said, "I saw a mighty angel with an open book coming down." It was the angel of the covenant. And there was a small angel that was waiting for him, William Maron Branham. Sunset Mountain, it was an exchange of ceremony. It was a handing over ceremony. The same book that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, on 1963, William Maron Branham got the book back. How do I know? Adam stopped to the winds. All that Adam was, Christ has redeemed us back to that. William Branham stopped to the winds. William Branham spoke scriptures into existence. And that book this morning, you that are sitting here, have got that book. Not only the book, the same power that Adam had this morning. Right where you are sitting in your chair, you have the same power. Do you believe that, church? Don't sleep on me, people. This is critical. Everything. What did Adam lose? The dominion. The dominion. The nature of being an amateur God. In the end time, when you go to work, you are not just an engineer in that place. You are an amateur God. That happens to be an engineer, but you've got the same power. The same power that Adam had. You have the same power this morning. You can speak to nature and nature will listen to you. Your voice is not just the utterance of words. There is a creative element in your words. Because why? You have been restored. Now the devil is confused. Because in Galilee, he saw one man moving around with power and thought this one is giving me problems. But today, today, he killed one man. But through that man, there's been spiritual multiplication. He sees the, oh, for a lack of a better way, he sees the Jesuses littered across the face of the earth. It's no longer a man that looks like a Jewish. Now there are Congolese. Now there are Zimbabweans. Now there are Coloreds all over. And they have the same power that this man had. Are you here, church? Are you here, church? Because now the drama is about to climax. And when the drama climaxes, we can say like Moses, the Egyptians that you see, the Egyptians that you see, because the script has been written. The drama must follow the script to the latter. And the Egyptians that you see, you shall see them no more. You will see the salvation of the Lord. Are you here? Brother Branham said, when the church knows who she is and what she stands for, there will be an invincible army. There is an army rising to close the chapter of humanity. Are you here, church? If the devil kills you, tell him the script has already been written. I will... When we used to be young, yes, I used to watch movies when I was young. There's a movie that I used to love. The actor was Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator. I loved it whenever he will say, I'll be back. So in this drama, when the devil ravages your body with cancer and you are dying on your bed, you look at him and say, devil, I will be back. Hallelujah. You will never be defeated. Oh, when they bring your body to the grave and the undertaker takes it down, something in you said, devil, I will be back. Why? It's part of the script. Folks, we are not living this earth as cowards. We are living as overcomers. Have I got overcomers here? We are living as overcomers. Heaven is not where we run. It's not a refugee camp. No, no, no. We are going in like champions, singing onward Christian soldiers. Hallelujah. Having overcome the devil, overcame cancers and all sorts of devilish things, we are coming out of this generation as victors. You know, if they write a drama, I mean, if they can call you at SABC and say, hey, we've got we're auditioning, and they select you as actors, and they start and say, okay, we'll act. Here's your script. Because there's dramas, you need to remember your lines. And you go home. And your script says, when the drama begins, you will be dead in the casket. They will be burying you. The first episode, they will be burying you. How am I doing? I will never accept that. First episode is my funeral. That means if the drama has got 180 episodes, we'll never not remember you. In the drama, those that are kept right until the end, there's something special about them. Because that's where tensions are heightened. Hallelujah. Because during the drama, some get shot, but there's some that are remaining at the end. And the audience will remember those. Now I understand. Brother Branham says, if I could have chosen I would have looked at during the time of the patriarch Abraham, and I would have still not chosen to live during that time. I've looked at it during the time of Moses. I would still have not chosen that time. I looked at during the time of Joshua. I would have never chosen that time. I would have even looked when the Messiah was here on earth. I would have never chosen that time. I would have chosen this age. Why at this age? Because you guys, the drama is about to end. Your script is the last script in the whole episode. Are we together? Brother Paul, I appreciate him. I appreciate this message. But what the devil did during Paul's time compared to what he's doing at my time, there are things that I will tell the Paul about what the devil has done. Paul will be shaking his head and say, I know, I prophesied that previous time shall come, but I never thought it would be at that extent. This is a dangerous age until even William Branham, he said, when I looked down, there was not even a flicker of light. It was darkness. Until he said, at this rate, I think 1977 is the last year. There's no way humanity can survive beyond 1977 given the degree of evil upon the land. How many years from 1977 those are mathematicians? 39, 30, 40.
Those who say 38, raise your hands. Those who say 39, raise your hands. Those who say 40, raise your hands. And those who think it's risky, raise your hands. Is it 40? Yeah, 26. 40. 40 years later, where the prophet never thought it could never go on, even by a year, and said 1977, I predict, not a professor, I predict. Isn't it amazing? 40 years later, in the midst, where Brother Branham never thought a soul cannot survive based on his human prediction. In 2017, where there's all kinds of evil, but yet we still have young girls in the midst of this evil that have separated themselves from evil. We still have young men that have separated themselves from this evil. We still have married men that are taking a stance for the gospel. I'm telling you, you had much better give yourself a round of applause, because even the prophet, he said after 1977, there is no hope, but here you are. And I've got news for you. If we remain another 40 years, don't ever think that the message will disappear. God will never leave himself without a witness. There will be people that will hold on until right to the end. And some of them are in the building. Because why? Their script says that they will never give up. I said, what makes a good drama is the timing of conflict, tension, suspense. If you have ever watched a movie before and you are with somebody that has never watched it before, and the main character drives a car, there is a bomb underneath his car seat and it explodes, you know, it's dramatic. There will be fire all over the screen, smoke all over the screen. But if you don't know the script, you'll think he's dead. But if you know the script and you are the one playing, you just look at the smoke and smile. And when you act drama,
Do you know that you are not allowed to tell your family members what's going to happen? No, you're not. You're not. Even if your son asks you, Mom, what's going to happen soon? Just keep on watching. Because why? If you tell her that this is what's going to happen, she goes to school and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. And the other children go to their houses and the producer will be very upset with you because you have removed suspense. Are we together? Yeah. So you, there are moments where there will be an explosion, where you look like you are dying. But the script says, he will heal you. If you die, he will raise you from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But your family members don't know. They come to your deathbed and they always will cry. He's dying. She's dying. No, you're not dying. Even if you die, that means the role of your character in the drama has finished. Brother Bram says this drama, it's about Elohim materializing himself so that he can become tangible. And I want to say, I thank God for having selected me for this drama. I will follow the script and I will make sure that I remember my lines and I give the best performance. But when all is said and done, when the drama finishes, we are going home. We are going home. And then we will sing redemptive songs. Worship will begin now. The songs of Zion will be sung. I can imagine when we get there, the angels will tap you on your shoulder and say, what does this song mean? And we say, Mr. Wena Gabriel, some years back, when we were down there fighting the devil, have you ever seen war veterans coming from wherever they were? And they share stories with their children. And they say, this guy, my son, I remember during World War I, you look at your father with admiration and say he's a warrior. There's coming a time where we will get admiration from the angels. And they will say, what song are you singing? We say, Mr. Angel, there was a time when I was about to give up, but this song came over and I sang the song. And that's why I'm in heaven today. Oh, there's going to be good songs, folks. We are not just singing here. There's a time when we are coming. As a pastor, I will call you and say to the heavenly host, wait a minute. I remember as a church when we were discouraged. I remember when we almost wanted to give up. We had a war cry. Can you, host of heaven, listen to the war cry? Brother Mivin, can you bring them? That's beat. And we began to say the beat. And the angels look at us. Ooh. They will wish that they were us. These songs are not for here, folks. We are going to sing them for eternity. We are building memories here. But we will reminisce on the other side. Ooh, I feel pity for angels. Because they look at us, some of us, we will be overwhelmed and say, oh my, and run to Jesus and hug him and say, I thank you. And I say, what are they talking about? Because angels don't know what grace means. Because they have never been lost. They don't know what healing means. Because they have never been sick. You are the one that understands God's potentials. I think even people like Peter will want to hear a lot of things from us. Young people, you'll begin to share with young people that came during the time of Peter and say, do you know what is WhatsApp? What's WhatsApp? It was there during our time. In our time, boys could access us because there's WhatsApp, there's Facebook, there's Twitter. But I survived. Amen. You lived during a better age because there was no WhatsApp. Me, I came when things were tough. But here I am. Are you here, church? You know what? Do you see why it's critical to maintain the standard so that your testimonies on the other side will be pleasant?
That's the end. God bless you.
I am redeemed. Where's Brother Marcus? If you ask them, who am I? Tell them I'm redeemed. How many redeemed people are in the building? And how many are thankful for God's redemptive grace? We really thank you, God. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them that I am redeemed.
I thank God for the life. Oh yes, I owe my life to Him. Jesus, Jesus is the light now. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown the light around me, that I may clearly see. If it wasn't for the light, tell me where.
With our hands raised for the last time now.
Oh, I thank God for the light.
Yes,
I owe my life to Him.
Jesus,
Jesus is the light.
And
from the rocks of sin, He has shown.
Not being of the lighthouse, which is Jesus Christ. You know, lighthouses are meant to provide direction. When you come on the sea, what makes you have hope that you are getting closer to the harbor is when you see the lighthouse. Hallelujah. It's there to provide navigation for the marine activities. Amen. Just give us another one. I don't know how many are full of worship this morning. I don't know how many are thankful for this great drama that has been scripted. You know, I can go on. Brother Branham says, you are the covenant people. You will never fail. And this was God's vindicated prophet that says, you will never fail. If you could know that you would never fail, what would you do? I will have liberty. Amen. Just give us another one. Let's just worship Him.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
There's never been. He opened me.
this glory
for the last time.
Yes, for Christ.
For
Christ
is revealing himself.
He's making himself known to you.
And I, for his way,
is becoming
clear. Oh, in this day, this glorious day.
Amen. I don't know. After this, I don't know whether you know this song. Oh, please, let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone, for without you, I can never make heaven my home. Amen.
Oh, please, let me walk.
How many request that this morning?
Jesus.
Let me walk with you, Jesus.
Don't
but Jesus.
Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty, we just want to thank you, O Father, that, O God Almighty, there is none like you, O God. Heavenly Father, O God, you are a great Jehovah, O God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your greatness this morning, O God. How you opened up the scriptures, O God. And Heavenly Father, O God, how the deep was calling to the deep this weekend, O God. This week, O Heavenly Father. O God, as we turn through the scriptures of your word, O God, you came to the man named Gideon, O Father. He was, O God, looking like a coward, O God, hiding his wheat from the Midians, O God. Heavenly Father, he was from a poor background, O God. He was from the least of his father, O God.
Yes.
But when you came to him through his position. You said, thou mighty man of valor. O God Almighty, Gideon looked and he said, why do you say I'm a mighty man of valor? O God, if you say, where are the promises of God? Heavenly Father, there was a deep calling, O God. So you came down, O God, to restore him into his position, O God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of a man called Jeremiah, O God. When you came to him, O God, you reminded him, you said, Jeremiah, before I placed thee in your mother's womb, I sanctified thee and I made thee a prophet, O God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you said, I'm going to put words in your mouth to what you say, O God. Heavenly Father, how you spoke this morning, O God, there was bubbling joy in my heart to say, O God, you are still the same God. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, O God, to say no matter what the devil does, O God, that Heavenly Father, we shall be victorious, O God.
Hallelujah.
Before there was a devil, O God, we were existing, O God.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, there is none like you, O God. Heavenly Father, something resonated within us, O God, to realize, O God, this is just a drama, O God, to realize, oh God, that the third pool ministry is easy, because if this is a drama, oh God, we can speak things into existence, oh God. Heavenly Father just looked and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in my heart, oh God. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you, oh God, how you used the man of God, Heavenly Father, how you took out, oh God, which was not God in my life, how you took out, oh God, which was not God in the believers, oh God. There can be none who can stand this, but you are great, oh God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the Calvary experience, oh God. We just want to thank you, oh God, that Heavenly Father, for the word that you've brought us this morning, oh God. It has had a changing effect in our hearts, oh God. Our hearts are bubbling with joy.
Hallelujah.
To understand that, Heavenly Father, no matter what happens, oh God, though the sheep, oh God, may be tossed, oh God, but Heavenly Father, the anchor holds, oh God. No matter what can happen, oh God, there is a part of God within us, oh God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and say, Heavenly Father, may this word, oh God, carry on living in our lives, oh God. Tomorrow is going to be a Monday, oh God. May this word, oh God, be vindicated, oh God. May this word, Heavenly Father, be brought into life, oh God. For the word of God says we are written epistles, oh God, read of all men, oh God. May this word, oh God, brings, oh God, a thirst to the people who sees us, oh God. Because, oh Heavenly Father, the only Christ, oh God, that the world will see, oh God, is the bride, Heavenly Father. Oh God, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, oh God, as the church, Heavenly Father, for giving us such, oh Heavenly Father, a humble man, oh God. We just want to thank you, oh God, Heavenly Father, as the church, oh God, to give us such a servant, oh God. Heavenly Father, may you carry on with him, oh God. May you give him the strength, oh God, because Heavenly Father, oh God, Brother Branham says that your pastor will see you through, oh God. Heavenly Father, oh God, that's why we are praying for him him to say, oh God, make him to be strong, oh God. Keep him in the cross, oh God. Heavenly Father, oh God, we ask all these in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life.
Mercy, yes, rewrote my life. Mercy, mercy, rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen my
Chris, come in the front. Is it Brother Chris? Grace. No Grace. Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, Brother Mevin here is giving him a mistaken identity. Is Brother Eric? Brother? Brother Eric. Okay. Brother Eric, you just come here. Amen. Brother Eric came here in Wheatbank, but he was not complete. And now he went back home to complete the picture. You know what I mean. Amen. You couldn't be invited because we can't afford to put you on the flight. Amen. You let your wife come. He says, yeah. Sublime. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. We really respect such men that made promise home and not forget the promise, but go back and fulfill it. Yes. Not swallowed by South Africa. All brothers from other African countries, be like Brother Eric. Amen. If you made a promise home, go home and fetch her and bring her back home. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Not from all of you alone. From my fellow brothers that are in diaspora. Congolese, Zimbabweans. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Amen. Even the South Africans, one when they go there, I say, they must tell you if they left a woman here. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you richly. God bless you, the Lebanese. Amen. Amen. Maybe we are ready for Jerusalem, and then thereafter we are dismissed. Amen. This drama doesn't finish on a set note. It finished in a ceremony. Amen. God bless you. Wednesday we are here.
Amen. Wednesday we are here. Amen. I know two brothers that can sort you with transport in a split of a minute. Amen. Isn't so, Brother Gumet? Brother Freddy? Transport is not an issue. Amen. God bless you. Amen. See you on Wednesday.
Oh, we are ready. We are ready. We are ready for Jerusalem.
We are
ready.
Oh, yes, we are ready.
We are ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, we are
ready.
Oh, yes, we are
ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, we are
ready.
Oh, yes, we are
ready.
Yes, on your mark,
get set.
We are
ready for Jerusalem.
I'm on your mark,
get set.
We are
ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, on your mark,
get set.
We are
ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, we are
ready.
Oh, yes, we are ready.
Ready
for Jerusalem. Oh, yes, we are
ready.
We are ready. Oh, yes, we are ready.
We are ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, we are
ready. We are
ready. Oh, yes, we are ready.
We are ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, on your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
We are ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, we are
ready.
Oh, yes,
on your mark,
get set,
we are ready for Jerusalem.
Oh, yes, we are
ready.
Oh,